turn in our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 11. It is Palm Sunday. And and Jesus would enter Jerusalem riding a donkey, and when he comes the next time, he'll be riding a horse of heaven. Praise the Lord, a white horse. Praise God. But anyway, we'll deal with the first coming this morning. Mark chapter 11, verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'What are you doing? Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to him just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat down. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches of the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and followed, who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Father, I thank you, God, for your word this morning. I thank you for your presence. So blessed, Lord, to have your presence here. Dear Father, I pray, Lord, your anointing upon the ministry of the word of God today, that you talk to every heart as only you can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The entrance of the king. In ancient history, after a victory of war, the conquering army would march through the streets of the main city which they occupied. The crowds would cheer, close, palm branches would be laid in the streets as a sign of celebration victory. Loud cries of praise would be heard as victorious soldiers marched the streets. Many times they would march the prisoners of war that they had captured during the time of war. But this day would be different. This was a day when Jesus, the true king, the only king, would conquer death, destruction of man's greatest enemy, the enemy of sin that dominated the human race. This entrance of this king would mean hope for the world, mean help for every person. It would mean eternity, have eternal security for those who would receive him. Amen. And so Jesus would come this day into Jerusalem and riding up on a donkey. And it would mean more than just celebrating just some kind of political war. It was not a political war. It was a war against man's greatest problem, greatest enemy, and that is sin. Okay? So the entrance of the king, it was an entrance of hope for all the world. Jesus did not come as a political figure. He didn't come to persuade Democrats or Republicans or independents or any other thing. Jesus came not to defeat political enemies of Israel. He came to bring hope to a world without hope. Amen. In Romans 5 and 5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us." Man. And so, without hope, A World Without Hope. I read the book here a few years ago of evangelist Christine Kane. She came to the place in her life where she would have to tell her husband-to-be about her abuse as a child. And she was sexually abused from an early age until she was in her teens by a father, if you could call him that, anyway, a relative. And she would have to tell her husband-to-be about this, and she felt like she had to. And she said, I couldn't stand to tell him, but said that he was patient and kind with me, and I just poured out. I told him everything. She said, I broke down and cried and thanked him for loving me regardless of my past. And she wrote a book called Unashamed, because you see, God took the shame and the guilt off of her. It wasn't her fault to start with, but he took the guilt and the shame that followed that off of her. And she could say, today, I'm unashamed because God did what he did in my heart. And so she had hope, has hope today, has preached to many people, and so many people get hope. Praise the Lord. So is entrance of the hope for all the world. And our hope now is surely the return of Christ. We are a people looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, when he comes the second time around, he's going to be coming in the clouds of heaven and the horses of heaven and the host of heaven, and the people of heaven will be following him, and it will be a march of victory. It won't be a march to another cross, but it will be a march of victory as he sets up this kingdom, becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's going to be his second coming. It's another sermon in itself. So is entrance of hope for all the world. And I have hope, and you have hope today because Jesus came into the world. And here, Jesus' entrance here to Jerusalem was an entrance of love for which the world has never experienced. It was an entrance that would bring people from condemnation to acceptance. It's not fun to be condemned. It's not fun for somebody to say, you know, you just need to shape up a little bit. And I worked on a job one time. Every day I came in, the guy would tell me, you sure are ugly. I said, well, if ugliness was bliss, you'd be blistered. Now, that was back when the world, I wasn't really living in the spirit. But things happen. It was an entrance of love for which the world has never experienced. The world has its own definition of love, as usually some carnal thing that a man and a woman break up or get together or something of that nature. God's love goes far beyond what we're able to think or to imagine. God loves us forever. Amen. John 3:16, we're used to hearing it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Jesus came into a world not to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned. The world was without love. There would be no deliverance from condemnation if God didn't love the world. We would live condemned and guilty, and we would die condemned and guilty. And nobody wants to hear in a court of law that they've been given the death sentence under judgment. But you see, God didn't come to do that. He came to give deliverance from judgment. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 9:1-9, it says, and we wait for his Son from heaven who delivers us from the wrath to come. You think God likes sin or loves sin? God hates sin. Somehow or another, he hates sin but loves the sinner. And in Luke chapter 15, he gives three parables concerning his love for the sinner. The parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, and the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. But yet Jesus cared, Jesus loves. He didn't come to condemn the world but to save the world, because he came into a world that was already condemned. And had he not loved us and loved the world, there would be no deliverance from condemnation and judgment. In God's righteousness, all sin deserves judgment. But Jesus would demonstrate love that humanity could not produce. Book of Romans makes it out very clear. In Romans chapter 5, he says, "For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, when there was nothing about us to love or to save, Jesus still died for us and loved us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, not only did he come to save the sinner, he paid the death penalty on the cross for our sins. He shed his blood. He died on the cross for you and me and for whosoever will. He didn't stay there. He rose again from the dead. Having been justified by his blood, declared not guilty by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. My friend, if you read about the wrath of God in Scripture, you don't want to be under the wrath of God. You want to be under the love of God and the mercy of God. And I'm thank God that God had mercy upon us and loves us and cares for us. Amen. So God demonstrated his love. He didn't just say, "I loved you." He demonstrated his love through his death on the cross. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And being reconciled could have the idea here of having a settled account. Okay? By the blood of Jesus, we can have a settled account. There's not one person here or anywhere that hadn't sinned sometime. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus paid the price for it all so that you can be justified, which means declared not guilty by his blood. Lord, I accept you as my Savior. I believe what you did on the cross was for me. And yes, I'm a sinner, and God, I need your mercy. And everyone that would call upon God will be delivered, set free, and given the hope of eternal life, and their sins erased. They'll be reconciled, have a settled account with God. That's what God does. Praise the Lord. So Jesus entering this on this donkey here, it was an entrance of love for which the world has never experienced and couldn't experience until he came. Thirdly, it was an entrance of judgment for our sins. I can only imagine what it would have been like to stand at the cross that day where Jesus was suffering and dying, for the sinless Son of God would pour out his soul into death. And the crowds would walk by, and some of the Jews and some of the Pharisees, the people that were supposed to be the religious leaders of the nation, would mock him. And they would say words like, "If you be the Son of God, if you really are the Son of God, come down the cross and we will believe you." And even the two that were crucified beside him mocked him as well. And the soldiers mocked him. And they nailed spikes through his hands and his feet. And it's hard to believe this, but it was just a normal day work for the soldiers. They did this constantly. Many Jews, many people were crucified. Anybody that opposed Rome was crucified. And an awful way to die. But yet, during this, Jesus didn't give up. He didn't say, "Father, I wish you'd just wipe them all out." He didn't do that. He said in one place he could have called 12 legions of angels to come and deliver him and set him free, but he didn't. He perfectly followed his Father's will. He said, "I have the authority to lay down my life, have the authority to take it again. This I have received from my Father." And he did both. He laid it down and he took it again. But the cross is where our sin was paid for. 1 Peter 1:18, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, received by the vain conduct of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." It was precious blood because there was no other blood like it. It didn't have sin in it. It was perfect, precious blood. Amen. And nobody can purchase their way into heaven or cannot pay the price to be delivered from even one sin. It takes the blood of Jesus. It was said just years back that one of the Rockefellers, the wealthiest people, you know, he was asked just, and they had billions of dollars. He was asked, what would make you happy right now? What are you looking for in the future? And he said, just one more dollar. But when he got that dollar, I'm sure that he wasn't happy. But you see, it cannot be paid for, cannot be purchased with silver or gold or anything this world has to offer. All the gold and silver under the hills, everything, nothing could pay for one single sin that we have committed. It takes something more than what we've got. It takes God's love. It took God's blood. Amen. And for 6 long hours, Jesus willingly and patiently suffered and died for the lost, the condemned, the guilty, all humanity. He even prayed for the people that crucified him and said, Father, I pray for these that are doing the work of crucifixion. Man. So there was no price that mankind could offer that would cancel one sin of any kind. It took divine sinless blood. There were two thieves at first that mocked Jesus, but apparently one of them changed his mind. And he began to concentrate on the man on the middle cross. I know thousands of sermons have been preached on the repentant thief, but I'm not going to pass it up. I thank God for it. Testimony to me today. Praise the Lord. But the other said, you know, we're getting what we deserve here. We have committed sins. We're thieves. We've robbed. We've stolen. We took people's hard-earned money and spent it on carnal things. And we deserve what we're getting. That's my version of the Bible. But it does say that in so many words. But he looks at Jesus and said, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying Jesus was sinless. He was seeing him as a sinless God. He said, he's dying just like we are, and we deserve it, but he didn't deserve it. And so we know that in a minute, the thief was repentant. And he said, Lord, could you just remember me when you come into your kingdom? He had already confessed Jesus as the Son of David, the Son of God. And Jesus said, today, my friend, you're going to be with me in paradise. Man. Today. And both died an awful, slow, painful death on the cross, as did Jesus. But the moment the last breath was drawn by the repentant thief, he left this world, was in paradise with Jesus. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Amen. We'll get to see him one day, and he can tell us in detail what happened on that cross. Amen. If he wants to. But in Jesus, in his dying words, he had seven different words that he said before he died in his dying words. And we get the words of dying people today, and there are people, there's words of dying atheists that I've looked into today. None of them are good. But Jesus, in his last breath on the cross, he breathed the words, it is finished. And that meant not that I'm through with this suffering and this is going to end, but he was saying that the plan of redemption was completed, or that anybody could call on the name of Jesus and be saved. My friend, there's been thousands of people throughout the ages that have called in their midnight hour and said, Jesus, would you have mercy on me, a sinner? And he called out and said, God, would you save me? And God has never failed to respond to a cry like that and never will. Amen. I'm thankful that the name of Jesus is mighty and powerful. It is able to save from the lost, really lost, from the guttermost to the uttermost. It is finished. Praise the Lord. So it was entrance of redemption for whosoever will. And death was a punishment for sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the best that the devil can do for a life is eternal death. As to never to be in a state of death and dying for eternity, that's unthinkable almost. But Jesus died in our place. Hard death, slow death, however it was exactly, we know that He finished the work that He came to do. He finished it for me. He finished it for you. He finished it so Sam, you could go free. He finished it, Daryl, so you could go free. He finished it, Ken, so you could go free. He finished it all so we could go free and not be condemned. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law, Ten Commandments, what it could not do, God, Jesus did on the cross, paying for my sins and yours. My friend, that ought to move you. You say, well, I'm unmoved by that. Well, friend, you need to be moved. You need to know and to be thankful that you're on your way to heaven, not because of something you've done, but you're on your way to heaven because God had mercy and grace upon me and upon you and upon our souls. He loved us and cared and to redeem us. Praise the Lord. It would be an entrance to release us from fear of judgment and condemnation. John 3:17, Jesus did send not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And Jesus said, he who believes in Him who is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Because you see, when people are doing something wrong, they'd rather hide it than somebody see it. That's why a kid crawls in the corner when he wants to do something and don't want mom and dad to see. Man. And people drive out somewhere where nobody would be so they could do this, that, and the other, whatever sin they want to commit. But when Jesus comes on the scene, it sheds light on everything. And the people of Jesus' day, especially the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the hypocrites, and all mixed together. And Jesus shed light upon things and people's sins wherever He went. And it's not because God wanted to make them feel bad. It's because God wanted to do something about their sin, wanted to forgive them and lift the guilt and the shame that sin brings and give them hope and peace of mind and eternal life. And I'm glad we serve a wonderful Jesus, a powerful Jesus, who went all the way to the cross. He left nothing out. He finished it all for us. Not only did He die, but we know He rose again the third day. Amen. Praise God. We'll celebrate that next week. We need to celebrate it every day because He's a risen Christ now and forever. And so, condemnation, the deepest root of all. Now the deeper root of stress and fear comes. All stress is caused by fear. Fear of falling. Fear of not having enough. Fear of death. So on. But Jesus came to deliver us from condemnation. So we could stand before God, or we can fall before God one day and say, God, thank You that You have mercy upon me. Man, sinner. I'll end with this. Jesus tells a parable, a true story usually that illustrates the truth. A Pharisee and a publican went to the temple at the hour of prayer. And the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. He said, Oh Lord, I thank You that I'm not like other people. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I owe, and I'm not like this filthy sinner next door to me. But the publican, a tax collector, and Pharisees hated the tax collectors because they were Jewish people that Rome had hired to collect taxes for them. But it says the tax collector would not even lift up his head, but cried out and saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, that man went to his house justified rather than the other. And you see, that's the mercy of God, the love of God that saves even me and even you. And He loves us and He cares. So He paid the full penalty for our sins, which mean His death. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus died in our place so that we wouldn't have to die eternally, but we could have everlasting life in the everlasting, wonderful presence of God. I can only imagine what heaven will be like. You know, we think of streets of gold and gates of pearl and all this stuff, and I'm sure it'll be beautiful to see and to look at. But if we can just see Jesus, I want to see Him who died for my sins. I want to see Him who loved me enough to save me from death and hell. Amen. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Unworthy, yes, unworthy, but God, by His blood, has made us worthy. It's the only way we're worthy. Praise God.